Once you get into God's economy, you have to get into kingdom economy. A Bible, there's an economy there. There's a kingdom there, but you have to tap into that kingdom. And once you tap into that kingdom, it'll start operating. Now, mind you, all of these things that we're talking about are operating above normal income levels. This operation does not interfere with your normal income. It's the economy of heaven that starts multiplying and breathing upon your resources, and it brings in over and above. Say over and above. Glory to God forever. Okay. You learn to function and operate. Say function and operate in the kingdom of God. Function and operate in the kingdom. We're in a mini series on kingdom multiplication. It's a kingdom multiplication. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Well, we'll just sow a seed and he'll meet all your needs. There's a lot more than that involved. It's not just sowing. It's what you're doing with that seed. It's what you're doing. When the Lord had to feed 5,000 men, not including women and children, 5,000 men, who would ever think to feed 5,000 men with 5 loaves and 2 fish? 5 loaves and 2 fish wouldn't even clear the men on the front row in this church. Think 5,000. How'd you like to be one of the disciples when the Lord said, all right, you're going, go make all the men. What's the first thing he did? He said, make the men sit down. Why? Because men, when the babies are hungry, they're going to kick into sufficiency mode. But God had them out in the desert, so they couldn't do anything. Amen. There's no HEB supermarket out there. There's nowhere to buy food, and they're in the middle of a desert. And more than that, God said, have them all sit down. Sit them down. Everyone say, sit down. There's a huge principle in the kingdom about sitting down. When you want to operate in the kingdom, you have to sit down. I'm not talking about in that chair. Your sufficiency, your do-it-yourself attitude, that's got to bow. It has to sit down. Amen? And so when it sits down, God can work. But if we're in front of God trying to work it out, we can't let God work. So he set them down. But the key was when the Lord saw those 5 loaves and 2 fish, the master key that I see so many people not here. So many people give and give and give and give, but they don't understand if you don't get that giving in a kingdom jurisdiction. It's not just giving into the offering plate. It's not just giving here. It's giving into the kingdom, but more importantly, getting what's in the earth into the kingdom. You're the agency. See, when the Lord received those 5 loaves and 2 fish, what did he do? He received it. Say, receive. Never again. Today I'm going to talk to you about actually your normal income, what to do with it. But never again receive something. Because like some of you might be in sales, or some of you have an ebb and flow of finance, and sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. When it's not as generous as you need it to be, do not complain about it. Do not murmur about it. You receive it, and what's the first thing the Lord did? He thanked. He gave thanks. So he gave thanks. Okay, thanks. How would you like to have a need of 5,000 men and you're staring down hungry people with 5 loaves and 2 fish? What did he do? He gave thanks. Say he gave thanks. So you have to thank God for what he brings you. Because you have to understand the kingdom can take what God brings you and multiply it. Say multiply. What's the second thing he did? The second thing he did was huge. This is the big one. He received it, he gave thanks, and he looked up. Say, look up. He looked up. He looked up. Everyone say, look up. Now, when the Lord looked up, he just didn't look up. He went up. He went up. You're the agency of transference. Now, listen to me on this one, because this makes the difference between multiplication and addition. Amen. If you don't get what is in the earth into a heavenly jurisdiction, it won't multiply the way it needs to. You're the one that does that. Amen. I have these pastors calling me. They're listening to these messages. And they said, now tell me how this works. I've been doing this for 20 years. I said, let's just do it together. I said, we'll do it over the phone. And I'll pray for them. I said, now listen, we're going to bring this up before the Father. See, it's an act of faith, an act of transference that you bring what God has given you. See, if you murmur over it, it's going to be hard to bring it up. Does that make sense? When you need 5,000 and God sends you 250, when some of you need 50,000, there's somebody in here right now. I'm hearing the Spirit of the Lord. You need $50,000. That's not a want. That is a need. There's something going on. You need 50,000. And God might bring you 1,000 or 2,000. What is $1,000 amongst 50,000? In the kingdom, say it's enough. Learn to say it's enough. Learn to say it's enough. Because in the kingdom, it is enough. I was talking to one person. He's got an engineering mind. He goes, I don't understand how that's enough. I said, I don't see the addition and the multiplication. He goes, you're using a different calculator than I'm using. I'm using a kingdom calculator. Amen? The kingdom calculates differently than the earth. But he's getting it. He's getting it. Ever say amen? Sometimes it takes more than one time. That's what I'm saying. You got to listen. When you learn to plug in this, you can use this all your life. Amen? Say all your life. One of the greatest warfare the enemy imposes on the people of God is financial warfare. Constant. He never stops. He's always fighting, 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 fighting. How many of you, the enemy has fought your finances in the last 365 days? Raise your hand. I rest my case. Amen. Glory to God. And so he said it's enough because you have to know it's enough. The reason it's enough, it's just like the lady that I think she was Elijah or Elisha, and she was about to die, and all she had was a last cake and a last cruse of oil, remember? And it was it Elijah or Elisha? Elijah, I get them, you know, it was Eli. It was Elisha, and he comes to her, and he was bold. I mean, there was a famine. So the last thing she had, she said, we're going to bake this last crucible in this little meal. I'm going to make a cake for me and my son, and we're going to die. That's a pretty serious place. And then Elijah shows up and says, wait a minute. Make that cake and that oil, but give it to me first. Sounds like a lot of preachers out there. It's like devouring the widow. Give it to me first. But see, Elijah had something that a lot of the preachers out there don't have. He had multiplication on him. He knew if she baked that cake, and he knew if she used her last cruse of oil and baked that cake, he knew that was it for her. But see, what he did is he took that last cake and that last cruse of oil. He said, you give it to me. What he was doing with that is he brought that. He brought that. Y'all look at me. He brought that. And he said, give it to me first. The reason why he needed to get that cake and that cruse of oil under a kingdom anointing. Amen? Had to get it into an increase and a multiplication. Glory to God forever. The key is getting that into a jurisdiction with multiplication. You have to believe in it. The Spirit of the Lord's told me this more than once. And I need to get to the message too. Praise God. Amen. The key is that jurisdictional transfer. Getting what's in the earth into a heavenly jurisdiction. You have to believe in it. You have to know that it is true. And here's what the Spirit of the Lord has spoken to me. He says, people have been burned in this generation, heavily burned by a lot of what happened, especially in the televangelism era with the stuff that goes on. You see it all the time. You turn it off and it puts a bad taste in your mouth. And people, because preachers have learned how to prosper off the sheep, and because they do that, they learn how to pull. They understand how to do it. You wouldn't believe the conversations I've had with some preachers. They said, now listen, they try to come in here and do that. In the old days, they said, what we want to do is we want to do worship. I'll come up and say a few things. We'll do a few miracles. We'll get them real heavy. And then I want to do the offering right when they're primed. I'm like, not here. Not here. Everyone say, not here. But they learn to do that. They prime the people. But what happens, people end up doing that, and it creates an what I'd call a trespass. And what happens, anytime anybody talks about finances, it just shuts them down because they got burned. If you're like that, you're going to have to trust again. If you don't trust, again, you shut down in this area. If you shut this area down, what you're going to find is a whole arena of God you're not going to be able to tap into. And it will have an effect upon your finances. It will. You have to understand, just because somebody's out there doing things, even though somebody may have burned you, you don't have to be subject to them for the rest of your life. Amen? Besides, you're not given to a man, you're not given to a church, you're not given to a ministry. You're giving it to the kingdom. You got to understand, every time you give from this day forward, you give to the kingdom. If you're not giving to the kingdom, you're missing it. You give it to God. Amen? You give it to God. You release it into the presence of God. That jurisdictional transfer makes everything. When the Lord looked up, he brought those loaves and two fish before the presence of his Father. That's what caused multiplication. A lot of people give. They give, and they start giving by duty. Once you get into giving by duty, that is another pendulum swing the wrong way. That's what I want to actually deal with today. I want you to go to Malachi today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Say Malachi. And an encounter with the Lord. And he said, my people have lost the glory. The way he said it to me, he says, my people have lost the glory of exchanging with me. And I didn't fully understand what he was saying with me. He goes, I never meant offerings to be duty. I never meant them to be for law. I meant it to be a glorious exchange between the Father and us, an exciting exchange. Even when James was testifying, he goes, you know, there is a cheerful giver and there's an excited giver. He goes, I've become an excited giver. It's supposed to be exciting. It's supposed to be living. It's supposed to be a divine interaction. Amen. It's supposed to be an exchange with you and the Father. And they missed it. I want to get into this chapter very heavily, because the Lord said, I want to get in, because we've been dealing with the over and above multiplication. I want to talk about the regular operation of God, your financial operation. I'm going to show you a few things today. What you might be missing, might be doing wrong, and you can make that adjustment so God can get breathing on you. Amen. You know, Haggai says in chapter 1, Haggai says that, They were building the temple. Zerubbabel and Joshua were building the temple, and the prophets came in. They'd been building, and they encountered a lot of warfare. And so they stopped building, and they started building their own places. And it was no longer about the house of God, but it became more about their houses, because they just got weary and tired and said, what's the use? And they just turned themselves and started building their own house. And what happened, Zechariah comes in, Haggai comes in, and these prophets begin to stir. They begin to stir him up. He said, listen. He goes, what happened when you got your income and you brought it home? And what happened? You put it in a bag of holes. Say, a bag of holes. Anybody ever had a paycheck and it was spent before you even got it? I mean, gone. Ever happened? That's called bag of holes. Remember, you got it and everything goes wrong. And I mean, you can't keep up with what's going wrong. That's called bag of holes. Say bag of holes. We got to patch the bag of holes. We don't do that. The Lord does that. Amen. So we patch the bag of holes. So today I want us all to stand for a minute. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord forever. Just put your hand over your head and say, Father, today, show me. Today I dedicate my life to you brand new. I dedicate all that you give me to stewardship with you. I dedicate my heart to you. I'm asking today to show me any place where there's a bag of holes. Seal up the wineskin. Seal it up. Breathe. Bless. Multiply. In Jesus' name. So I want to get into this message the Lord gave me on Wednesday night. And a lot of you are very familiar with Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. I want to get into this. How many of you are familiar with Malachi? Raise your hand. Awesome. Well, maybe this part you haven't been familiar with. Because I want to approach the whole book of Malachi, not just chapter 3. I want to find out what the Lord was upset about. And I also want to find out how to get what he actually said he would do. Amen? Because he said you could bring your tithes into the storehouse and I will pour you out a blessing. I'm like, God, where's all that? Where's all that? So we're going to begin with Malachi chapter 3, verse 5. It says, now I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift one. Now, understand that God is highly upset here. He is very upset. He says, I'll be a swift witness against the sorcerers, the adulterers, the false swearers, against those that oppress the hireling and his wages. Now, notice this. You can underline this or make a note, a mental note about the widow. Say the widow, the fatherless, and turn aside the stranger from his right. So you have the widow, the fatherless, and he turns aside the stranger from his right. And they fear not me, saith the Lord. So this is what he's upset about. As we get into that, you'll understand this. Now look at verse 8. He says, now this is something we've all heard before. Will a man rob God? How many of you heard that one before? Will a man rob God? And I hear preachers say, don't be a God robber. Listen, God has so much abundance. What you do and what you don't do doesn't change his abundance. When you were going to find out what they were actually robbing him of today, what he was really upset with today. Amen? He said, yet you've robbed me. Verse 8. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? He says, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. And then he pronounces a curse on him. He said, you're cursed with a curse. For you've robbed me, even this whole nation. So this is where the doctrine comes in. If you don't tithe, you're cursed. Listen, we're New Testament. Say, we're New Testament. Say, I am redeemed from the curse. The Lord has redeemed me from the curse. We don't do curse. We do blessing. We do grace. Say, we do grace. But what were they robbing him of? What was he so upset about? You can't even know what he's upset about until you back up to chapter 1. So go back to chapter 1. Let's see what he's upset about. We'll begin in verse 6 for the sake of time. He says, a son, Father, help me get through all this today. I want to get through it all. He said, a son honors his father, Malachi 1, verse 6. And a servant honors his master. You're going to find out there was some serious dishonor going on here. He says, if I then be a father, where is my honor? Say, where's my honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts. O priest, despise my name. You say, wherein we have despised thee. Now watch this, verse 7. He's talking about offerings. Ready? Look at this, verse 7. He says, you offer polluted bread upon my altar. You know what that was coming from? The polluted bread? See, when they would bring the offerings, they were supposed to bring the best, the first. What they were bringing was the stale. You see that? They were bringing the stuff that was old that they were going to discard anyway. See what's going on there? Where was God in the picture? He was the last in the deck. Oh, that bread is polluted. That bread is molded. Let's give that. You see what was going on? They lacked the honor. He goes, bear that to your governor. Watch this. Watch this. So that's the first thing, polluted bread. He says, in that you say the table of the Lord is contemptible. Now verse 8, and you offer blind. Say blind. Now back then, they didn't have checks and cash cards. They were agricultural society. When they brought an offering to God, they were bringing their offering from the agricultural arena. And he says, you offer blind for sacrifice. See what's going on there? Is that not evil? You offer lame and the sick. Is that not evil? Offer it now to your governor. Would he be pleased with it? He goes, you're giving me things that you wouldn't even give your governor. See that? What they were doing is they were calling the herds, and they were supposed to remove the blind, the sick, but they were saying, let's make that our offering. See how what was happening? They shifted. They lost the honor principle. Say honor. We lose the honor principle. We shuffle God out and whatever's left. See, God, there's something about God. He likes to be first. He would have probably rather them not give anything than to offer what they were offering. Polluted bread, blind, lame, sick. God could do nothing with that. But see, what you don't understand about this, he said, now offer that to the governor and see what he would do with it. See why he was upset about this? Now watch this. Verse 10. You can see the state of the priesthood and the people in this time. Who is there even among you that would even shut the doors for nothing? You know what he's talking about? He's talking about working in the temple. He goes, you won't even come and serve in the temple unless somebody's paying you to do it. Uh-oh, hello. He goes, who would there kindle the fire, prepare fire for the sacrifices unless you're getting paid? I ain't doing it unless I'm getting paid. You see the heart problem there? Nobody was doing anything for the sake of honoring God. They lost the whole thing. They misunderstood the entire reason. God said, listen, let's just shut the whole thing down. Is this the best you can do? This wasn't supposed to be that way. It was supposed to have been an honor. It was supposed to have been a joy. It was a time that people would connect with God and he could connect with them. God wants to connect. He doesn't want his duty to drop something and go about your life. He wants connection. How long is it going to take for us to understand it? Even the Old Testament, God couldn't live in man. He got up in their tabernacle and walked with them for 40 years right next to him. He goes, I want to be in you, but this is the best we can do right now. But they lost everything. Dishonor had set in. Think about our lives. Were we honor or dishonor? More and more the God's talking to me about, hey, listen, honor is more important than duty. Say honor. It's more important. Well, I have to do this. If I'm not properly honoring, if I don't take time to honor, what's it for? They wouldn't even work in the temple without being paid for it. They, everything, you see the state. Now, they didn't get there on their own. The priest had a lot to do with it. Everyone say, not this priest. Say, not this priest. Not my pastor. That was a state of the priesthood, too. They were just as out of joint. That's why he was on to the priest. Oh, you priests that despise my name, say the table of the Lord is contemptible. It's to be despised. They were just doing it because they were commanded to do it under the law. We're commanded. We don't want to do it, but we have to do it because we're under law. Look at your neighbor and say, you are not under law. You don't have to do it. It's a joy. It's a joy. It was supposed to have been a joy. It wasn't supposed to be a one-way street. It was just you giving, you giving, you giving. God was supposed to get involved with it. But they cut him off. Because the way they were operating, they cut him off from doing what he wants to do. He wants to bless. He wants to multiply. He wants to increase. They cut him off. I mean, they were supposed to go to the herd. And then look, let's give God the very best that we have. See why? Because it was an honor. And if they honored God first and they came to him with thankfulness, see, the condition of your heart when you give, that's New Testament too. God loveth what? Cheerful. The condition of your heart is everything. It's not just your action. So many people have an action, but they don't have the heart. And what they did is come into the herd and said, let's give God the very best. Find the best lamb. Give him the best bread. That polluted bread, throw it out. I'm not offering it to God. God doesn't want your 100-year-old manna. I was talking about when we were helping Pedro and Elizabeth. I said, now, they need clothes, but don't bring them the clothes from the 70s. Bring them good stuff. Well, I don't wear this anymore anyway. No! Bring them stuff you wear. And my brother said he likes my Roar shirts. I'm going to bring you some of my best Roar shirts. Learn to give your best or don't give at all. You're not doing anybody favors. If we can't give the best, we've lost the heartbeat of the whole kingdom. And God said, you won't even do that with your governor, but you're doing it with me. You call me your father. I'm supposed to father you. You won't even do it to your governor. You have more respect to your governor than you do for me. See the loss of honor? That right there, if we can restore honor, you're going to see the blessing of God return. If we can get out of duty and move into honor, God doesn't like to be shuffled in your deck. If we don't learn and have enough faith to put him first, say first. A lot of people's finances are very high because they don't put him first and they don't interact. Amen. They were supposed to go in that herd, find the best one. And they weren't just to go lay it up on the altar. They were supposed to be. It was an act of worship. It was an act of interaction with the Father. It was a thankfulness. I get to bring this to you, Father, in thankfulness that everything that I have comes from you. My livelihood, my blessing comes from you. Never lose that. Because if it's coming from you, dishonor will set in. If it's coming from God, there'll always be honor. That's why a life of faith is the greatest life, because you're always in a position of believing God and he's always coming through. It's an honor. Say an honor. Today when we give, it's an honor. It's an honor. I like David DeGlanna. He always gives in the feast. He loves to give during the feast. Every time a feast comes around, he's honoring God, but he loves it. He loves it. Man, pray to have that kind of heart. Where you love, because you lose that part. You're losing something that's going to eventually cut you off. Keep that part of you. Amen. Glory to God. Say glory. I need to move. I need to move forward. He says, verse 11, from the rising of the sun, even the going down of the same, my name will be great among the Gentiles. He says, you are despising me. I'll go to the Gentiles. God wants a people he can love. Listen to me very carefully. And he wants a people that love him and a people he can love. God wants to interact. He wants to interact. Amen. Verse 13. Oh, here's a big one. You ready for this? Woo. He says, you said also, he not done. You said also, behold, what a weariness it is. And you snuffed at it. Say, snuffed at it. Say of the Lord, and you brought that which was torn, lame, and sick. And thus you brought an offering. He said, should I accept this? He says, what a weariness this is to do this week in and week out. Listen, whenever that comes to a weariness, you lost the heartbeat of what it was about. When we learn to exchange, it's always going to be fresh. It's always going to be beautiful. It's always going to be wonderful. It's always going to be a part of, Father, I get to do this. Hallelujah. I get to bring something from the earth to you. I'm giving it to you, Father, but where are you bringing it? All the way up to the Father. See, all the way up to the Father. I get to interact. Everyone looks at your neighbor and says, I get to interact. I get to interact. See, it's not a one-way street with God. But because they missed it so bad, it cut off God. Because he says, I'm not accepting this. He goes, if I'm not accepting this, then you don't get what's on my side. This place is going to have acceptable offerings. Amen. Acceptable. You see where the difference is? You're not bringing it to a priest. You're not bringing it to a temple. You're bringing it to God. If you learn to do this and you learn to honor, you're going to see things start happening. Amen? Glory to God. Father, say, put your hand over here and say, Father, teach me honor. Show me honor. Father, forgive me for the times it became a weariness. Forgive me for the times it just became duty. See, if it's just duty, and you can look up now. You're all... I looked up and you're all... It's like, bring them out of the prayer, son. Bring them out. You should see you from my side. He said, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. So he said, say that. No, I'm just... So we move back into the position of honor. Because once it gets to duty, you're missing it. I'm just doing this because I'm supposed to do it. No. I'm doing this because it's an awesome time to exchange and interact with God. You make it important, and God will bless you. Now watch what happens. I go back to Malachi chapter 3. So, what's he say? He says, will a man rob God? I want to read you a verse from... did I put it in there? From Deuteronomy for a minute. You don't have to go over there. I want to read you this verse from Deuteronomy 14. Just listen to me. You don't have to go there. You can write it down later. Deuteronomy 14, verse 28. Listen to this verse. Because when he said, will a man rob God, yet you rob me with tithes and offerings. Do you remember the verse I started with in Malachi in verse chapter 3, verse 5? When he says, you oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow, say the widow, the fatherless, or the orphans, and you turn aside the stranger from his right. Now, Deuteronomy has something to say about that. In verse 28, watch this, in Deuteronomy 14, he says, at the end of 3 years, you will bring forth all the tithe and thine increase in the same year. So you're going to bring all the tithe, say all. And you shall lay it up within thy gates. And the Levite, because he hath no part or inheritance with thee. Now watch this, who's going to partake of the tithe? You ready? What did God do with the tithe that they brought in? Well, he provided for the Levites, those that ministered in the tabernacle. They were the first one. Look at the second one. And the stranger, say the stranger. And the fatherless, the orphan. And the widow, which are within thy gates, they shall come and eat and be satisfied. So God was using the tithe to provide for the strangers, the widows, and the orphans, and the Levites. And he says, listen, you're bringing me. Now here's the second thing he's upset about. You're bringing me the lame, the maimed, and the sick and polluted bread. And you are robbing me of my operation to provide for the widow, the fatherless, and the stranger. You're turning away strangers because you're bringing polluted stuff in my altar. I have nothing to bless them with because they have no faith. Do you get that? They were supposed to bring the best so God could provide for the needy and his priesthood. Amen? And they were turning aside the stranger from his right. He goes, am I going to feed the stranger the polluted bread that you won't even eat? Am I to feed the orphan the polluted bread that you won't eat? Am I to feed the orphan the sick and the maimed of your herds? You see what's going on there? They lost the honor. They lost it. And God says, you robbed me. They weren't robbing him in heaven. He's got all the riches there. He goes, you're robbing me. My storehouse. From blessing those who need it the most. Think about that a minute. Think about that. Look at the ministries today. I saw a guy on TV last night. I don't want to say too much about it, but I saw him on TV. And man, he had awesome anointing on him. Then he does the sinner's prayer, and man, it's awesome anointing. And right after the sinner's prayer, he says, listen, if you just prayed that prayer, he goes, I thought he's going to send this thing to him free. He goes, I want to send this to you, but I need you to send me $25. I'm like, the guy just got saved. Nobody will do anything unless it costs money. Where are those that are feeding the people of God? You don't just feed them bread. How about feeding them manna? But the Lord started telling me, he goes, listen, he came to me today. He goes, I want to thank you for making these revelations free. I said, Lord, we could do pretty good if we were charging for those, just FYI. At 30, 40,000 downloads a month, we could be doing pretty good. We could probably move from this taco stand, Father. I mean, so you know, I'm a, you know, everyone likes the tacos anyway. So just, I said, you know, we could do good. I said, it goes out. He said, why don't you start not just making that available, but presenting it to me as bread for the nations. Here's my bread for the nations. Present it to me. Boy, Chuck got that one. I knew he'd get that one. Present it to me as bread for the nations. Every day, make that an offering and present it for thankfulness. And see what I won't do with that. Because you're allowing people that otherwise would not listen to these kind of messages all over the world, they can freely listen to them. Amen. We're getting into heaven's economy. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. It's heaven's economy. It's heaven's economy. We're feeding orphans. We're feeding spiritual orphans and teaching them how to find the Father. Listen, you can feed an orphan bread. He remains an orphan. You feed him the manna of John 14, 15, 16, and 17, he will not be an orphan anymore. Oh, let's give him glory. Hallelujah. We will not turn aside. That's what this church, our main mission is, a media mission, to give this out to the world. Sometimes we get 20,000 a month. Sometimes we get as much as 60,000 downloads a month. All over. I don't even know these people. But God knows them. Amen. Every time we preach in here, it gets preached tens of thousands times over on the internet. If you had to charge that wouldn't do it. You can't call five of your friends and send them a link and say, now y'all all pay $5, $5, $5, $5, $5. No. They send the link. Bam, bam, bam. Now people are saying, teach me how to download that on the cell phone. That was a mountain. We had to move that. We didn't even have to do that. Do you know you can download all those on your cell phone and just carry your cell phone all around? Listen, 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 listen. If you don't know how to do that, Chuck finally knows how to do that. Do you know how to do that, right? I've been sending people to Chuck, and Chuck goes, look, I don't know how to do this. I'm like, well, I've been sending everybody to you, but Mike knows how to do it. If you know how to download from the message, I'm not talking about to hit the listen button and listen to it, but download it into your phone, raise your hand. Everybody has their hands raised. You have my permission to go and ask them how to do it. Amen. Oh, Tim goes, well, we'll charge him $5. Yeah. Because Tim is not going to open a door for nothing. Oh, that's his seed. Okay. Hallelujah. I would say glory. Tim, we love you, brother. The Bible says we're commanded to love. Praise God. Hallelujah. Duty. Yeah, I'm in duty. Praise God. Okay. All right. Go to Malachi 10. Now, let's see the other side of the equation. Even God, when he's upset. See, people miss this part. Even when he's upset, he's extending mercy. You guys know something. God, even when he's upset, he's got a merciful heart that's 1,000 times greater than when you get him upset. And he can turn just like from anger to mercy, just like that. Even in the midst, he says, well, man, Rabbi, you're cursed with a curse. Okay, that's it. I'm done. Venting. This is God. Now, bring your tithes and storehouses, and let me show you what I do. He shifts in a verse. God don't stay mad. God is a loving Father. Oh, my God, if I could tell you the mercies that he has shown Pastor Chuck over the years. By having him walk with me. Yeah, give Chuck a big hand. Okay, that's enough. That's enough. That's enough. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Look, hey, turn around. Look, Chuck. Hey, don't pan that camera. Don't do that. He's panning the camera. Oh, my God. I can see Mr. Fuller. I know you're amening right now. Oh, my goodness. It's good to have fun. Now, watch. Malachi 3:10. All right, ready? Woo. Glory to God. Now, look real quick. He says, look at verse 9. He says, you're cursed with a curse. You've robbed me and this whole nation. He's all upset. And then watch verse 10. He just shifts. Okay, I vented. Now here's my mercy. Do this right. Restore honor. Come into alignment. Make me first. Bring the best, watch this, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, that I may provide for the fatherless, the widow, and the stranger. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. Now here, watch this, if I'll not open the windows of heavens, pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. This is what happens when we get it right. Amen. Whew. And all, watch this, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Well, listen, when the devourer is rebuked, you will start prospering. And your bag will get sealed. And $1,000 will be like $5,000. And $500 will be like $1,500. It'll stretch. Because the blessing's on it now. Say the blessing's on it. And all nations shall call you blessed. And you will be a delightsome land. You see it? 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 Now I'm going to close with this. Yeah, I'm going to close. Why don't you go to Genesis 28. Because we've been talking about everything. Even in the law, God's mercy and glory was there. But I want to talk to you about, you remember Abraham? He tied the Melchizedek. I have a whole message on that that's so phenomenal, but it's deep. It's deep. We'll probably do it on a Wednesday night sometime. It's super deep. Praise God. But I want to talk to you about Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were before Moses. This wasn't even law. Before there was even a commandment to tithe, they were giving out of the heart. But I want to show you what Jacob did. This is impressive. Amen. And we'll close with this. This is the time, if you remember, Jacob's ladder, he has a dream, and a ladder set up, and the angels are descending and descending, and he comes out of that dream, and he's in an open heaven, he goes, oh my God, this is the house of God. He goes, the presence of God is here. Watch what happens here. So he sees this dream with the angels descending and descending, and the Lord stands above it, verse 13, verse 28, and the Lord God of Abraham, and God of Isaac, and then God stands on the top of the ladder, and he reiterates the promise to Jacob from Abraham, your seed is going to be blessed. He comes out of this dream, and the glory and the presence of God is everywhere. It wasn't just a dream, it was an encounter. Say an encounter. He said, thy seed will be, in verse 15, and behold, I am with thee. I will keep thee in all places where you go. I'll bring you again in this land. In verse 16, Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely, say surely, the Lord is in this place. Now listen, there is a glory that comes with this. Watch this. The Lord is in this place, and he was afraid and said, how dreadful. That wasn't a bad dread, that how glory, I mean the presence of God, that dream, that encounter released in open heaven, and they end up calling this place Bethel. Whew. How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and it is the gate of heaven. So he comes out of this dream, and there's an open heaven. He's in the glory. What's the first thing he wants to do? He wants to build an altar right there. And he builds an altar, and he calls the place Bethel. Now watch what happens. In verse 20, And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God be with me, he will keep me in this way that I go. He will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone, verse 22, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. Say, God's house. And all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee a tenth. His first response to the open heaven that God was bringing him is, I'm going to give you a tenth. You see the glory of what was going on there? You see the glory and the honor? He didn't have to say that. Nobody asked him to do that. Nobody commanded him to do that. That came out of his heart. When David was sitting there with Naaman, and God had blessed him so much, he's sitting there in prayer, and all of a sudden David, it comes into his heart to build the house of God. And he calls in Naaman, and Naaman picks it up in the spirit. He says, oh man, he could pick up the heartbeat of heaven, because nobody wanted to build God a temple. And that ark was laying in the Philistines the whole time, and all of a sudden Naaman said, do it. He didn't even ask God. He said, do it, David. I feel the anointing. I feel the anointing. Then he goes home and says, tell him what he's doing's of me. But he's not going to build it. His son's going to build it because he's been a man of war. But tell him he's going to pay for it. Tell him I'm going to bless him exceedingly. All the time hither I've been with all of you, has any man had in his heart to build the house of God? Nobody even thought about retrieving the covenant, the Ark of Covenant, and building a house. It got into David's heart, and man, it exploded the kingdom of God under David and Solomon, that one act. Isn't that glorious? You see, it's the honor thing. It's the honor. It's all about the heart. Your heart will move you further in God than anything else. Let's give God glory. Now, we're going to give today, but we're going to give from the heart. Amen. We're all going to give from the heart. Today, as you prepare your offering, as you pass out envelopes, we're going to pray. We're going to do the jurisdictional transfer today. I already feel the anointing right now. We're going to put As in Heaven on. Is he back there? Hey, he'll be back soon. Praise God. Listen, you got to come to a time in your life, because I know it's just, how do I do this? Listen, when you put God first, he's the one that makes the way. But don't do it out of duty. Honor, say honor. Let your neighbor say honor. Man, if we can restore this. When I was sitting here, right here, and I saw the glory, because I want to restore the glory of what this is supposed to be about. And I saw Malachi, they had lost the glory. They forgot what it was supposed to be about. It was supposed to be an exchange. It was supposed to be an honor. It was supposed to be a time that you connect with God, he connects with you. Amen? It wasn't supposed to be the things we see today, a commercialized giving system. It wasn't supposed to be like that. If you give, I'll give you this. It was supposed to be an honor, and God can restore that honor. We're going to see him open the windows of heaven. We're going to see him rebuke the devourer. And I can tell you, there's quite a few of us in here needs the devourer rebuked. Amen? Man, you'll be amazed. So today, when you prepare this, glory to God. As you prepare this, we're going to lift it before God. Gary, come, just jump on the keyboards. Just come on up. Let's give Gary a hand clap. Hallelujah. Because I want to pray. And as you prepare, go ahead and bring the fluorescence down, if you would. If you can't see, keep that light on in the back. Keep the sides right, left, and back. Yeah. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity. Bring that up a little bit, Chris. We thank you for the opportunity. I want you to lift the offerings today. Some of you just might want to stand. If you're already ready, some of you came in ready. I saw you. You're taking it seriously. See, that's a restoration of honor. It's a restoration of thankfulness, because you're taking it seriously. Because you see God. Learn to do this. Learn to be thankful when you get your paycheck. I told Anna, I said, when the paycheck comes home, don't go put it in the bank. Give it to me. I want to bring it up to God. I want to thank God. Every time you get a paycheck, don't go just put it in the bank. If you get an automatic, then take the receipt and take it up to God and thank Him for what He's given you. Even if it's in your mind not enough, it will be enough if you'll thank Him properly. And if you'll interact, it will become enough. Everyone say, Father, it's enough. When you have your paycheck, give me an envelope. I'll show you what to do with the paycheck. Let's say this was my paycheck. Okay, let's say this was my paycheck. Or this was my increase. We're dealing with paycheck today. Or say this is my multiplication. You take that and you bring it to God. Even if it wasn't enough. Even if it wasn't enough to pay your bills, you bring it to God and say, Father, I thank you. It's enough. In the world's economy, it's not enough. But in your economy, it's enough. Because it's what you've given me. Now, I bring this to you with thankfulness. I bring this to you with gratitude. I bring it out from the earth into a heavenly domain, a heavenly jurisdiction. You feel that anointing? A heavenly jurisdiction. I ask for your blessing. I ask for your increase. I ask for your multiplication. Father, multiply this. And I offer the tithe of this to you. Or offer the tithe of 10% of the increase to you. I offer it. I bring it to you, Father. So I did that with a paycheck. And then I'll take the tithe like we're going to do today. Now lift that and hold that to your heart. And Father, we hold this. We ask you to restore the glory of tithing. The honor. Let this congregation restore the honor, Father. Let it be a seed of honor today. Let it be a seed of honor. We bring it to you out of honor, out of thankfulness that we get to participate in heaven's economy. That we get to participate with you, Father, and restore the glory of it, Father. Restore the honor of it. You said you'd pour out a blessing to us. Now don't go and say, oh, I don't need anything. I'm just giving this to God. Yes, you need something. He promises to interact with you. You bring it to Him, and He blesses you. Father, thank you for the blessing. Be thankful because you say, I don't need anything. You're cutting Him off. He wants to bless. He wants to bless. Father, I give this to you with an honest and good heart and thankfulness for what you've given me. Today I bless. Today, Father, I bring it into the glory now. I bring our family into the glory. We bring this church into the glory. We bring all our increase into the glory. Father, rebuke the devourer. Father, rebuke the devourer. Pour out from the riches in glory. Blessings and increase and multiplication. We don't have room to receive that we can continue to be a blessing. Father, set the glory. Set the glory, Father, upon this today. Set the glory on it. We thank you for this glorious opportunity to exchange with you. We're so blessed, Father, to restore love in the midst of the offering. Father, honor all your people today. Honor them. As we honor you, honor them, Father. Restore honor, Father. In the glorious name. In the glorious name. She feel that anointing. This is how you do it, my friends. This is what pleases God. This is what pleases you.